Now, ladies and gentlemen, to do the last teaching, please welcome Diane Carr. Come on up.
Take my coffee.
Have a seat. What a wonderful weekend we've had together here in God's Word. It's just been awesome. And you know, half the fun of getting here was getting here, you know? And all this week in preparation for just this moment in time, all the prayers that have gone up, you know, all the fine details, you know, the dogs had to be kenneled, the kids had to be taken care of, and, you know, clothes had to be washed, and all these things had to be taken care of. But we're here. We are finally here. And all that anticipated time together is finally a reality. This is it. Here we are. See my face? I see your face. It's face to face. Nothing separating us. And it's just been a wonderful time enjoying God's Word. God's Word has ministered to my heart. I know it's ministered to yours. And I know God's heart for this weekend has been full. Full of wonderful things, you know, the teachings that we've had on prayer. You know, these are things that are not random. The things of God and the things in the church are not random, are handled in a way that is haphazard. You know, when you woke up this morning, the sun was there, you know, the water is out there, the lake was there, the beautiful flowers. God is a God of order. He's a God of design. And he has things in his heart that he wants his people to know. He sees the things that need to be taught. He sees the areas of need in our lives, individually and as a body of believers. And so with this word of God that we've been taught this weekend, you can face Monday morning knowing that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can face those things that come on board in your life knowing that you can pray. You know, these are things that God tells us from his word that he wants us to have the joy of answered prayer. He wants to have the joy of taking care of the needs of our lives. He wants us to enjoy forgiveness. How about that one? You know, forgiveness enjoyed. He wants you to be able to walk into this wonderful, beautiful body of Christ that he has so lovingly provided for us through the work of his Son, Jesus Christ, and enjoy that wonderful forgiveness. He wants us to be able to walk into the day knowing that he is with us and that we have his protection, his love, his care. Pray without ceasing. How about that? Instant in prayer. How about that? Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. No downtime there, kids. Right away. You know, when things come up in our lives, take it to God right away. You know, don't try to figure it out ourselves like, oh boy. It's just commit your way to God. That's it. You know, not to the guy to the left, to the right, you know, to this person, that person, but commit your way unto God. And that means make a commitment to God. You're serious. You're ready to do business with God because he's ready to do business with you and he's serious about your life and he's serious about mine. Anyway, these are things on my heart and so thankful for all the people that have been here this weekend to help put this together. You know, I look out here and I see so many of you who so lovingly have given of your hearts, your prayer, your believing, your time to adorn this place. Rosaria did the beautiful flowers, and she's probably with the kids this morning, you know, taking care of her business. You know, Annie Hannon did the tables down in the dining room and brought these wonderful family, love, hope. You know, she was so excited when she found these. So many treasures have been found before we even got here. But there are so many wonderful treasures in God's Word, and one of the greatest treasures that I know of in God's Word is that he is sending his Son back for us. That will be the day when all things will be put to rest. and we will be gathered. You know, this has been such a wonderful gathering. It's been fun watching people, just seeing the looks on their face. You know, some of these parents that are in here who haven't seen their kids all year, I got to see some of the glimpses of those moments, and I could see them from a distance. You know, I saw Jeffrey and Annie, and she was watching for him, I know, and I know he was watching for her. He was looking for that mama, you know, and that mama was looking for that baby. And I saw it. I got to see that moment. I got to see them lock their hearts, their eyes, and so much came into that moment in time. You know, it wasn't just a quick moment. And I think about that with the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the Word of God, it says in a moment, like that, you know. But I think about all that's coming into that moment. You know, all the years that God has worked and helped mankind to get him to the place where he could finally gather his family. And that is his heart. That is what this is all about, is that he's coming back. And what a moment in time that is going to be. I suppose I should open my thing here. The great hope of the church. You know, I do have to make mention of my father in God's word, Dr. Worrell, because without his life and his teaching of God's word and his walking with God, I wouldn't know anything about the return of Jesus Christ. And I would imagine that's probably true for most of us sitting in here. And I know that God continued to open the Word of God to him in regards to his son coming back, because he took a lot of crap in his lifetime. He stood through a lot. And you know what? As believers, we are going to take a lot of crap in our lifetime just because of the world that we live in. And that's why this hope of his son coming back is what gives us an anchor in life. It's what gives us the joy of life. It's what makes it all worthwhile. If you'd like to take your Bibles and turn to Romans 13, that's the first scripture we're going to look at in God's Word this morning. Oh, by the way, he is coming back. There it is. The sands of time. Romans chapter 13. And in verse 11. And that knowing the time, it's about time. Christ's return is about time. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. This is God speaking to his people about the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's time to wake out of sleep. Now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. We are one day closer to Jesus Christ coming back. That's a great thing in life. You know, we're not one day closer to the grave. That's the way of the world. And trust you me, there are not people out there looking for the return of Jesus Christ. They are not. They're looking for a lot of other things. You know, most of them are preparing for death, even the church. You know, they got it all screwed up. But those of us who know what God has to say in his word know that we are looking for the return of Jesus Christ. This next verse is pretty awesome. The night is far spent. This is what God is telling us right here, right now, face to face, me and you, God's word. The night is far spent. You know what that means? The time of evil is about done with. The tyranny of evil is about done with. It's far spent. It's almost done. This whole shooting match is almost done. That's what God tells us. This is God's perspective. The night is far spent. The darkness of the world is far spent. It's about done with. His reign is about done with, because God's got another thing in the works. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. This wonderful hope that we have, it is a living hope. It's a moving hope. It's not something that's just written here on these pages. It's in the heart of God. It's in the fabric of all life. It's written in the stars. It's written in your body. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's who's in you. And that's who is coming back for us, is Christ. And I cannot think of anything more of a blessing for your life and for mine than to speak about the return of Jesus Christ. And it is something we need. We do need to be reminded that he is coming back. The night is far spent. The time of our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. We're one step closer. We're one moment closer. This morning, one of the lines in Lisa Tracy's song, "With the rising of the sun, Jesus Christ just might come." Every step that you take, every breath that you take, that next one might be Jesus Christ coming back. And boy, talk about an anticipation of a day. You know, it's not Monday morning beating the traffic. You know, it's Monday morning, yeah, you're sitting in the traffic, but eyes up, because at any moment he could be coming back. And that's that joy, that's that anticipation that we look forward with in our lives, that he is coming back. To begin to see some of these great truths that God has opened up to us in his word, I want to look at Acts 1. It was fun seeing Lance up here lead the song this morning, because I, like I said, it's been just an awesome week in preparing to get here. And there's many comings until the Lord Jesus Christ. We're all here. We all came here, right? We're in the moment. Here it is. You know, we're experiencing this thing together. And when you read in God's word, there are many comings too. You know, Paul talked about Timothy coming and certain things that God had in the works, you know, to get his word to people, to get prayer to people, to get deliverance to people. You know, he's always got something in the works. So there I was, like a mad woman, Tuesday afternoon, in preparation to come here, pushing my grocery cart about 100 miles an hour in AMP. Trying to beat the clock, you know how that is. Just on my way to do something else, oh, make a quick stop in at AMP, going 100 miles an hour, rounding the corner in the frozen food section. You don't know, I was really going fast. And people are just blurs to the side of me because I just have one thing in mind, you know. And all of a sudden, who's standing right there in front of Victoria's Sauce? Lance Arrington. Stopped me dead in my tracks. I'm like, holy cow. You know, it was just, I was busting my way through A&P, just cruising like crazy. And there he was, just beaming. I stopped. I mean, smoke came off the wheels. You know, I was moving so fast. And I did notice the Victoria's Secret sauce was on sale, but I wasn't interested in the garlic or whatever else that they were promoting. Wondering if they had my basil that I like. And all this went through my mind as I'm stopping my cart and I see Lance. And he's like, he looks at me, he goes, "Wow, that's a really great sale on that tomato sauce, isn't it?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, but they're not carrying my brand here." But then I'm just looking at him, and it just, the impact of his heart and his life just fully impacted mine. And it just was a glorious moment. And he, you know, I said, "Man, how you doing? How are things going?" He's like, "God, things are going great. Oh, I got to lead somebody into speaking in tongues, and this person interpreted it." And I thought, wow. Man, what a moment, you know, what a moment that was for me running into Lance. And, you know, and then he told me I looked really nice, and I, you know. Who does this at AMP? Nobody stops me and tells me that they let somebody into tongues and interpretation and that I look nice, you know? I'm liking this hope already. And then we're just like laughing and having a grand old time. And who do I hear from the other end of the frozen food aisle at AMP? Was Amanda with the girls. And she comes rolling her cart down, and the twins are in there. And she's like, I thought I heard that laugh. I know that laugh anywhere. And I thought I heard Diane Carr's voice. Then she proceeds to tell me her preparation for the week, you know, how, you know, it's the advanced week. You know, I have special meals I'm making. They got to be really fast and quick, and we're only doing two meals this week. The rest of the meals are going to last for the whole week. And the girls are happy, you know. And we just sort of, in A&P, we just kept passing each other in the aisles, you know. And I'm like, I can't find this. Lance goes, it's over there in aisle 13. Finally, we end up at the checkout counter. We finally ended up almost together checking out at the same time. And the girls had big balls, you know. They had the pink ball and the blue ball, I think it was. I don't know. They got these big balls, and Amanda goes, they were really good in here today. And I just happened to think about the return of Christ, you know, how it's going to be such a joy to see each other there, you know. It's going to be such a joy to enjoy some of those rewards that God has talked about in his word. You know, we get the big balls just because he loves us. No reason. He's got some really cool things coming on board. He's got some great stuff worked up for us. But, okay, Acts 1. The former treaties, in verse 1, the former treaties have I made, O Theopolis, and that's a really cool word, means beloved of God, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also, he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait. Okay, there are those guys. They were told to wait. You know, that's our deal. We're waiting. We're waiting. And that's what he told them to do. He said, but wait. For the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Let's see, how far did I go there? Okay, keep going. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons with which the Father hath put in his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked, and I bet that was a look, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, what a moment in time. He's just ascending. You know, that's a moment. This same Jesus, and don't you know, their hearts must have just went, what? Where are you going? Wait, I want to come. Take me with you. That's probably what I would have said. Wait. Take me with you. Don't leave me. But they said, ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. So that was the great comfort that God brought to those men that day, was he's coming back. He's coming back. The same Jesus is coming back. The one that ascended and took care of business for you and for me, he's coming back. And in chapter 2 of Acts, and in verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Well, here we are. We're with, you know, one accord, one place. We're here. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. On that wonderful day, ushered in a new moment in time for the heart of God to be able to finally make it available for his man to be born again, his woman to be born again. Fully come. It had been coming since Genesis 3:15. That's what I say. When that moment finally comes, boy, it's going to be quite a moment, because all that's happened, all the preparation for that moment in time is going to fully come. Like some of these mummies that are out here that are pregnant, you know, when it's time, it's going to come. And it's all about time. It's not, you know, it really isn't about whether you are doing this or that or the other. You could be doing anything. It doesn't matter. It's when God has it. He's got it, you know, he's got his thing going with time. When it is fully come, then that is when Jesus Christ is coming back. And the cool thing about it is, we are in an administration. This day of Pentecost brought in an administration of time that is what is called the Church of Grace. And that's where you and I sit. You know, the timelines on Facebook, you know, you got the timeline. We have, God has his timeline, you know. And this timeline of God, where you and I sit in time, is in the Church of Grace, in the administration of grace. There's been other administrations before us. We're in the fifth administration of God's timeline. You know, it's been coming, it's been coming. And here we are, it's at this moment in time where we're anticipating the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They were anticipating his first coming, and he came. We are anticipating his second coming. And as God gave us his perspective on this whole thing, the night is far spent. This whole time is about done with. His evil in the world is about done with. And the time that we set in this administration of grace is right next to the appearing. We're right there, guys. We are right there. This is the next thing that's going to happen for the church. It is. The very next thing that's happening for you and for me is the return of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this is something that God wants us to remember. It's something that he wants us to speak about to each other, because it brings great comfort to us. You know, in this wonderful body of Christ, we have people who are really good at encouraging us about Christ's return. And we need to speak about that more. We need to speak about Christ returning, because you're not going to hear it from the world. You know, who are we going to hear it from if we don't hear it from each other? That's why that is all part of being especially good to the household of faith. And for my life, you know, there are certain people in this wonderful body of Christ within close vicinity of me that bring great comfort to me. And one of them is Camelia. You know, she comes to my fellowship. And there's just, she's always talking to me about Christ's return. Our very last fellowship, we had a communion before we came here. And Camelia, I go out the door to greet her, and she's coming up the walkway, and she grabs me. You know, the mother, gathering that baby chick, bringing her in. You know, she says, baby, he's coming back. He's coming back. and God's faithful to his promise. And then she just kept walking. It doesn't take, you know, an epistle here. It just takes somebody telling me he's coming back. God's faithful to his promise and keep moving. It's okay. It's okay. You know, he's coming back. I had written down here, we don't want to lose the great heart of God. It's not just words to make you feel good. You know, you've heard that you can get a good feeling on a psychiatrist's couch. You know, it really isn't about feeling good. Although when he comes back, we're going to feel really good. We're going to be, and whatever is going to be shaking is going to be happening, and we're going to hear like we've never heard before. We're going to be able to see. You know, this morning I'm walking around trying to ask, has anybody got stuff to clean your glasses with? I can't see anything. Because I got so many hugs and kisses from everybody this morning. But everything is just going to work, okay? Everything is going to work better. The new body is all part of that hope. There's a rushing mighty wind coming through here. And it does feel really good, by the way. But we don't want to lose that great heart of God. A lot of things get lost in the shuffle of life, and many of these wonderful truths that God has opened up to us in his word have been lost in life. There is a time in the book of Jeremiah, we don't have to turn to it, but Jeremiah found the word of God again after it had been buried. And so many of the truths of God's word have been buried in our lives. But thankfully, we've been able to come again, have a knowledge of God's word, and see God's heart for us once again while living out the rest of the days of our life. And you and I may very well live out the rest of the days of our life without the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter, because if we do fall asleep before he comes back, we know from God's word the very next thing we're going to see is face to face Jesus Christ. Joe said something when he was teaching on love. God can do some pretty crazy things. That's going to be really quite a moment, that one. All through the history of man and time, God was continuing to build vision for the coming of the Messiah. And yet, there was a period of time from Malachi to Matthew of 400 years where there was no man of God until John the Baptist. There was no believing regarding Jesus Christ. It's very interesting, in Malachi 3:16, Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi 3:16, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. There were a handful of believers who did think about God, who did think about the coming Messiah. But basically, that 400 years was a time of silence. You and I cannot afford in this day and this time or at any time to be silent about the return of Jesus Christ. The world is without hope. What are we going to give them? You know, what are you going to give that guy that you see Monday morning who's been beat down all weekend long from the tyranny of evil? What are we going to give the lady at the gas station? What are we going to give the person at the doctor's office? You know, it's a world without God, and it's a world without hope. And that's a whole lot of without. And you got a whole lot of Christ in you, the hope. So take that authority that you have as a son of God to speak about Jesus Christ, to tell people where they can get help and answers and deliverance in their lives. Turn to Romans chapter 15. These retimeries this weekend have been such a blessing. I know. I think all of you guys should have gotten these as a gift, and what a wonderful gift. What better gift to have than to have God's word? And You know, I really do encourage you to work these things. These are awesome. You know, you may not have time sometimes to sit down and read the book of Ephesians, but you got time to read one verse of Scripture, right? Or think upon one verse of Scripture. So this morning, I pulled these out and was looking at them again and thought, wow, what a great thing to go back out into the world with. You know, you got the Word of God here this weekend. You may not have gotten all the answers you were looking for, but you know what? You got the Word of God, and God has the answers you're looking for. You've got the confidence, the trust, the believing. You know, when I walked out my door this morning, there was a lineup of people that are dear, near and dear to my heart, you know, because they knew I was going to be up here this morning sharing God's Word, and they were rooting for me. I felt like I was at a pep rally or something. I was just walking, you know, to come here, and all of a sudden, they were all there. It was like, I felt like I was at the Super Bowl or something. It's like, we've been praying for you. It's going to be a great morning. He's coming back. You know, you're the best. You look beautiful. It's like they were on the sidelines, you know, just cheering for me. I'm like, yeah, I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. Thanks, guys. We can do this. We can stand on God's word and look for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This Romans 15:13, I guess I better go there too. Romans 15:13. What time did we start? Are we there yet? Okay. Well, I guess somebody will give me the cane if I've gone over my time. Yeah, because I have no concept of time right now. Sorry about that, guys. Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. God of hope fill you now. At AMP, the God of hope filled me right then and there. Right then and there, that God of hope filled me when I saw Amanda and the girls, I saw Lance, and it was like, that was the God of hope filling me, you know, with joy and peace and believing. It brought joy to my heart. It brought peace to my heart. That's what he wants to do for you and I. While we're waiting, this God of hope can fill you. It can fill me in the days of our lives, no matter what is ahead of us, no matter what we're facing. This God of hope, who is your God and my God, can fill us with joy and peace and believing. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Cruise with me, baby. God wants us to know this hope. He wants you to know it, okay? He wants me to know it. And it's sad that people will live out the days of their life and not know maybe about the return of Jesus Christ, not know that there is a brightness ahead of us. There is a brightness that lays before us, a time of no more sorrow, a time of no more tears, a time of no more pain. You and I don't know what that's like, because every single day of our lives has been a time of sorrow, a time of pain, a time of tears, if not in our own lives, in the lives of somebody somewhere in the world. Every time you turn the news on, it's sorrowful, it's painful, you know, there's tears everywhere. And that's why this hope has to live within our lifetime, within our lives, within the days of our lives. And God wants us to know this. He doesn't want us to just, you know, go from day to day and not think about his son coming back. He wants us to know that he is sending his son back. In Ephesians 1, I have 1:15. Okay. I had to tape Ephesians back in my Bible last night. Did I get it in here right? Yeah, I forget whose teaching it was yesterday. Somebody was teaching, and they said, go to the book of Ephesians. And I'm like, I'm looking at my Bible, and it's not there. Half of it's missing. I'm like, what the hell happened to Ephesians? Where did it go? And I'm looking around. I find it on the floor, and I'm like, oh, my God. You know, my heart just went to the floor. I'm like, come back. You know, and I'm walking around looking for somebody to help me put Ephesians back in my Bible. And finally, somebody had some tape, so it's taped in there. It's still there. That's a great thing to know about God's Word. You know, the flower might wither, the grass might wither, but the Word of God's going to stand forever. Whether my Ephesians falls out of the Bible or not, you know. God's not confined to this book. He's a living God. These are living words, and it is a living hope. It's a hope to be in movement among God's people. It's not something to be read about in the sweet by and by. It's something to be believed and experienced, the hope experienced. You're going to have a great experience at the return, I'm telling you now. I am too, but we are to have this in our life every day. You know, that's one thing I love about Lisa Tracy's music. She has such a great heart for the hope. She must think about the hope of Christ's return all the time, because so many of her songs minister the hope to God's people. You know, even on the trip up here, we were riding in the car together, and her and I were in the back seat. And she got to talking about in the twinkling of an eye and how she's been thinking about what a twinkle is. You know, and she said, you know, some looks can be really mean looks, you know. But when I think of twinkling, I think of something that's really sweet, you know, just that twink when you see somebody, just that twinkle in the eye, that moment, you know, it's a really sweet moment. So we need these truths from God's Word. The church needs to know. We need to know, you and I, in our day-to-day life, God wants us to know that He's sending His Son back. Verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. These are a lot of words in here, so you may have to stop and take a breath, have a drink of water. But it is the great heart of God. Verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, lit up, that you may what?
Know.
That's the deal. That's what God wants for you. He wants you to know what is the hope of your calling. What is the hope of your calling? You've got a hope. You've been called. I want to know what the hope of my calling is. You know, I got to see some of that again this weekend from God's Word and just being together with all you wonderful saints. You know, it just brings a lot of hope to my life. And then I got to thinking about those saints who are not here with us. You know, those who have fallen asleep. And what great joy and anticipation that's going to bring to our hearts and lives again, to see those born-again ones who have fallen asleep, to see them again. What a cool God. You know, and I thought of that when, I forget who it was, maybe it was Joe that was teaching about the gushing out, you know, and I thought, God, what is that going to be like for the heart of God to finally have gathered all of His children, all those born again, to have gathered them up and bring them home. We're about there. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Now is your salvation nearer than when you first believed. But what is going to fill the heart of God at that moment in time? You know, He's done the best He can for us. You know, all through all those administrations, with every change of administration, God was better able to care for the lives of His men and His women. but never really fully like he really wants to until the day of Pentecost when it was available for him to have sons and daughters. What a moment that must have been for his heart, you know, to finally be able to have that fellowship restored again. He's a lonely God sometimes, you know. Do you ever get lonely? I do. You can be in a crowd of hundreds of people and be lonely. You know, I think about that with God sometimes, how he is a lonely God, you know, because, I mean, you read sections in God's Word, 400 years where there was no man of God. That must have been a very lonely time for God because no one hardly thought about regarding Jesus Christ, the coming Messiah. Nobody gave much attention to God. You know, they didn't give him the time of day. So he is looking forward to this moment in time as well. There are men and women in God's Word who have stood through the years who have anticipated the return of Jesus Christ. David in the Old Testament said, "I have set the Lord always before me. He's at my right hand that I should not be moved." He knew. David knew. He thought about that. You know, he thought about that. He thought about the first coming of Jesus Christ. There are many opportunities for you to be moved, you know. But you make up your mind you're not going to be moved away from the hope. Not moved away from the hope. And that actually, God does bring that up in the epistles. We may look at that verse. I'm not sure if I have it in here or not. But David had that hope in his life. Jesus Christ said, "Abraham rejoiced to see my day." Abraham rejoiced, another wonderful man of God, and he rejoiced to see the day of Jesus Christ. Turn to Thessalonians. And I have written down, let's begin the beguine. That's the dance, I think, in German. Is our German, our sister from Germany in here? Huh? Oh, yeah. Is that begin? Does that mean dance? No? Is it French? I don't know. Maybe it's just something I made up. Apparently it was. Well, I know it's a song. Let's begin the begin. The dance. And that's Thessalonians. And this begins the greatest knowledge on the gathering together. And these sections of God's Word teach us basically everything that can be known about the return of Jesus Christ. And it's just unbelievably beautiful. Thessalonians stands last among the church epistles because it's the last thing that's going to happen to you and to me in this wonderful body of believers. But it was the first thing written to the church because that's the first thing that God wants you to remember. First thing, he's coming back. First thing, he's coming back. When you go through some times of your life where it's, you know, kind of difficult days and you say you've had enough, God wants you to remember he's coming back. This is what is to be the comfort for the church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And in verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you all. This is the first century church believers, your brothers and sisters in Christ that we haven't ever had the joy and privilege of meeting, but we will at some day. We're going to meet these Thessalonica believers. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. That patience there means to bear up under, And that hope is what enables us to bear up under the pressures of life. It's what enables us to bear up under the sorrows of life. It's what enables us to bear up under the tears, the tyranny of evil, the darkness of the world. It is the hope of the return of Jesus Christ that enables you to bear up under it. Not the 5 o'clock news, not Dancing with the Stars, not a hot night out on Times Square. It's the return of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what enables us to bear up under this. Verse 4, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. You know, it cost those guys. There was stuff going on there. They received the word in much affliction. You know, we've had the word of God presented to us here this weekend on a silver platter. God's done his best for you. He's given his best for you. There may be better teachers. There may be better this. There may be better that. But God gave you his best. You got the best of what he's got. You know? And you can bear up under, you can go back out there Monday morning and handle it because you got the best and you are the best. These guys received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord. From you will sound out the word of the Lord. Dan Chatton, the word of the Lord sounding out from your life, you know. Wesley Pittenger, the word of the Lord sounding out from your life. Taylor Sayer, there in New York, the word of the Lord sounding out from your life. The word of the Lord sounding out from my life. Hannah Armstrong, the word of the Lord sounding out from your life. Michelle Genovese, the word of the Lord sounding out from your life. I can go down the line. Not one person is missed in here. You didn't get missed this weekend. God was here for you. He showed up. He brought it to the table. You got the best. You got the word of God. You can sound out God's word to the world, and we heard that in the manifestations this morning. The world needs you. It is a dark, lonely place. The world needs you. God tells us that we are the light of the world. We are those who do bring hope to those who are without God and without hope. From you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols and to serve the living and true God. And that is who you're serving. He's a living and true God. He's a true God. And to wait for his Son from heaven. This is it. This is what God is telling us from his word. To wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. And there are many wonderful things about the hope of the return of Jesus Christ. We don't have time. As we see here, it's, you know, gathering to go through all these wonderful things. But you have should the Lord tarry, you have the rest of the days of your life to continue to grow in hope. And that is God's heart, that you do grow in hope. You know, that you do have more of the anticipation of the return of Jesus Christ, more of the heart of God in those truths for our lives, that he is coming back. To wait for his Son from heaven. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. These truths are kept for us, and the church is kept. We're going to see this from God's word here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. But I would not have you again, God speaking to you. This, he's speaking to your heart. He's a living God. It's a living word. This is a living moment. You know, we're not all bobbleheads out here. You know, we're like real people. You know, we got it going on. We're breathing. And, you know, it's God would not have us to be ignorant. I would not have you to be ignorant. So that means he wants us to know, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or go before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. He's coming back. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. This is the great comfort of God to the church. He is coming back. Those who have fallen asleep, they are going to get up. They're going to get up. You know, when I drive by, and you see a lot of these cemeteries in New Jersey, because this part of the country is some of the oldest part of the country here that we live in. So there are a lot of old cemeteries out there. But you know what? All those that are born again, they're not forgotten. They're not forgotten. And a lot of times when I drive by, I like to roll my window down and say, hang in there, he's coming back. You know, hang in there, he's coming back. And that is to be the great comfort of the church. And wherefore comfort one another with these words. We need comfort, guys. The church needs comfort. And this is what God has given us to comfort one another with. And that really is the true comfort of God, the great heart of God, to see what all he's got worked up for us now and for all eternity. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. And verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Well, that God says this hope is lively, okay? It's lively. It's got some life coming on. It's got some life in it, you know? It's not a dead hope. It's a live hope. It's a living hope. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. It's ready to be revealed. And these truths from God's word and regarding the return of Jesus Christ are kept. The church is kept. These truths are kept. And that word kept means to guard with a military garrison. We not only have an inheritance kept for us, but we will be kept by God's power to get there to receive it. And that's a cool thing to know, you know, that God is watching over the church, you know, kept. Kept by the power of God. Your life is kept. My life is kept by God. The inheritance that he has for us at the return of Jesus Christ is kept. It doesn't fade away. It talks about that in the word. Why would God use words like that to describe this? Because he wants his people to get it. He wants you to get that if you do live out the rest of the days of your life and should happen to fall asleep before Christ returns, that still is not fading away. Nothing is faded away. It's kept. God's got it all in his time. And we're kept and we're going to be there to receive it. Look in the book of Jude. There's another great verse. There's so many wonderful verses about the return of Jesus Christ. I wish we had time to go through them all, but we don't because they're so awesome. But in Jude, in verse 21, this is a wonderful verse. You know, the book of Jude was written during a time of great unbelief, and that is really where we're at today. It's a time of great unbelief. You know, people are not believing that Christ is coming back. You know, that is the reality of our days. But God tells us that during these times of unbelief, he's given us, the church, instructions on what we can do, you know, and that is in verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep yourselves in the love of God and look for Christ to come back, not for the world to be better or the church to be perfect. You're going to walk out of here after this teaching and somebody's going to do something to piss you off. I guarantee it. God knows that, you know. But we don't look for the world to get better, and we don't look for the church to be perfect, because that's not going to happen. So stop looking for it. You know, we're not to look for perfection in each other. What we are to look for is the return of Jesus Christ. And what we are to do during these days of great unbelief is to keep ourselves in the love of God. Keep yourself in the love of God. God has kept you. He's got an inheritance for you. Now keep yourself in the love of God. And you know what? You know that's God's heart. Not to look for perfection in the church, because it's always going to, you know, could be better here, there, and yonder. But to keep ourselves in the love of God and to look for the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1. And in verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you, and the hope has come unto you. It's come unto me. We've been taught about the return of Jesus Christ, and bringeth forth fruit. Which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. That hope is laid up for us in heaven. It's not going anywhere. God's got it. He's got it. You don't have to turn there, but there's a scripture in Proverbs that says, the path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more into the perfect day. Your path of life should be shining more and more and more unto the perfect day. And I can't think of a more perfect day than the return of Jesus Christ. That is a perfect day. This is the great heart of God to the church, and it's the great comfort to the church. Hebrews chapter 12. Did any of you ever see the movie Secretariat? It's a movie about a horse that ran his race. He won the Kentucky Derby. He got the Triple Crown. A horse. A horse. You know, and there's at one point in that movie when they, at the very final, the final race, this horse is ready, and he's in the stall, and you can just see his nostrils are flaring, and his ears are on point, and then the bell rings, the gate opens, and he's down the track. And he's running the race. And I think about that with Jesus Christ. It says that I think in Hebrews it talks about Jesus Christ, how he ran his race. He ran a race for you. You know, he ran his race. And then they break out into that song, "Oh Happy Day," when Jesus walked. And he washed my sins away. And you see the camera just spanning across the crowd, hundreds and hundreds of people. And I thought about that with the Lord Jesus Christ, how he's given his life for all of mankind, millions and millions of people. You know, and at a certain point, he blew everybody out of the water. That horse took out, and he left everybody in the dust. There's nobody else that's going to get the job done for you. It's already been done. He's come, and he's coming back. And he has great joy and anticipation in his heart. You know, he did what he did because God set a hope before him. God had to set a hope before him to show him. And what do you think he showed him? Take a look at the mirror. He showed him me. He showed him you. You know, we're the guys. We're his brothers. He's not ashamed to call us brothers. We're his sisters. God showed him you and me and what it would mean to all of mankind if he ran that race. And he did run his race like nobody else. None of us could have run it individually or collectively. None of us. But he did it. And he did it for you and for me. And that is who's coming back for us. So you can only imagine what's shaking in the heavenlies. I can guarantee you they're on point. All of heaven is waiting. All of heaven is waiting for God to give the time. Time. You know, in a moment of time. These are words of comfort. I want to close out in 1 Corinthians 15. We're just going to read it here. We're starting in verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Put that one on the runway. Immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, how many times have I thought about this verse through the years? Days of sorrow, days of pain, days of tear. This verse has come to the aid of my rescue. It's delivered me. It's healed me. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. At some point in time, God's going to say, it's time, time. And that shout that is going to come is a shout of command. And when that shout of command comes, we're going to move. We're going to move. We're not going to be flipping through our Bibles and taping in Ephesians, and, you know, we're going to freaking be moving. We're going to get new bodies. You know, we're going to see the dead in Christ. All this is going to move. It's all going to happen. It's time for no more sorrow. It's time for no more tears. And it's time for no more death. Yeah, rock it. No more death. I don't know what it's like to have a day with no death. Every day of my life, I'm faced with death. I hear it on the news. It's written in my body. You know, I will fall asleep before Christ comes back, if he doesn't come back in my lifetime. I'm not going to have that reality of life because I have Christ in me, the hope of glory. No more death, no more sorrow, no more tears. And I think about that from the great heart of God, his heart, where he will no more have to see his people die. He will no more have to see tears. He will no more have to see pain. The great heart of God through this is just unbelievable. I'm done with the Bible. I mean, you know. I didn't mean that in a bad way. You guys can just take a breather, close your Bibles for a second. I'm done, pretty much. But I do want to share something with you. You don't have to look this up. The Word of God talks about the trumpet. And this morning, and we are just about done here. You probably can't hear me now. Joe Armstrong so kindly let me have this up here on display this morning. This is what is called a shofar, and it is a ram's horn. And this is a trumpet that was used in the Old Testament when God makes reference to it in his word. And there is a particular place, I do just want to read it to you. It's out of Exodus when God met with his people in the Old Testament, in Exodus 19. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightning and a thick cloud upon the mount. And when I was reading through this, I thought, God, this would, if I were to put a song title on this moment, it would have to be Bob Dylan. Thunder on the Mountain. That's a great song. But it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. I'd like for you to listen to this trumpet. It is the sound of a shofar, would have been like what these wonderful believers, these children of Israel, what they would have heard, something like what they would have heard on that day. Wow, he is coming back. And what a wonderful place that we hold in God's heart and in his dreams and in his eternity. So God, thanks for this wonderful hope of your son, Jesus Christ, and that we've had the joy and privilege of being together this weekend and learning more about you and your son. And thank you, Father, that you are a God of hope, and you do fill our hearts and you fill our lives, and that we can speak to the world we can sound out the greatness of this wonderful return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray, and we look forward to his coming back. Amen. That's it.